Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Have you spent any time at all planning for a plan B? If the hypotheticals don't work out,
there's no plan B in these scenarios for us.
The hypotheticals we were referring to was if Giannis doesn't sign that Supermax. He can this offseason. He can anytime after that. I think the day that he can, I know Bucks fans will be all over Twitter and the radio station and jsonline.com seeing if he does it. The day of some comments this week.
That's a lot of power for one guy to have. I mean, Giannis, he controls
basically the direction of the franchise is in his hands.
It is. I mean, Pfizer Forum, the Deer District. Yeah, I mean, he controls it all with one yes or one no. Is he going to sign the $245-$250 million extension, or is he going to go play with his brothers in Los Angeles?
Matt Velasquez joining us to talk Bucks, Milwaukee basketball. Insider, you hear him throughout the week on our station, on the post-game shows as well. Matt, what can you tell us that John Horst didn't? What do you know that John Horst, general manager of the Bucks, doesn't know?
Yeah, like, you know, I got on with you guys and I mentioned, you know, just how inadequate I feel, you know, having to follow up the man who literally knows everything about the Bucks. So thanks for that. I come on every week and this is what I get.
Well, Malcolm Brogdon went. You know, he pulled off the trade and he got draft picks in return. They just get, you know, they got draft picks, so the Pacers didn't have to cut through all that red tape with Brogdon being a restricted free agent. But I mean, at the time, I did not like the move, but that turned out, you know, they got even better without Brogdon, which I was surprised.
Yeah, and you know, they haven't necessarily used the draft picks yet that they got back in that deal. They definitely haven't used them. But that doesn't mean they won't either use them right now. I think that would be the 18th pick in the draft. So you can use that first rounder as the 18th pick this year, or you can, you know, trade that on draft night, you know, and maybe try and do something, you know, with a trade that day. So it's not like they haven't used it or they've wasted it. They still have a second rounder that goes with that too. So you know, they've set themselves up to have some flexibility, some opportunities in the future, which are definitely things that John Horst, you know, really loves to have. Whenever you can have the option to make multiple decisions with an asset, it always sets you up for the better. And obviously, as you said, like, the team's been better this year than they were last year. Who knows what they would have been with Brogdon, but we know what they are now, and that's a team that's, you know, basically on a 70-win pace.
We asked John Horst this, and we'll get your opinion on it. Matt Velasquez, do you think that there's anything else that they could have done, any other move they could have made? I know a lot of people, fans, thought, well, maybe if you can package one of these end-of-bench guys in that first-round pick, you get another guy in here and go from there. I'm not sure if the trade market allowed for that kind of piece that would fit. They do get Marvin Williams, who's already played 67% of the minutes that Paul Gasol did in his entire tenure as a Milwaukee Buck, and that was just in one game. Is there anything else that you think they should have done, could have done, or is this about the best that John Horst could do now going into the second half?
You know, not knowing the trades that were available to them or the options that were on the table, I think it would have been really hard going into that trade deadline to be able to find something for the players that the Bucks had, because you know, they just don't have guys who are making all that much. In terms of salary, and so the guys that you would probably be interested in, the guys that the team would probably want or that could really help them, are making more money. So, like, you know, with the salary matching that you need to do in the NBA, it would be hard to take, you know, just one guy off the end of the bench, and package, you know, him with a pick and get somebody in return, you'd have to have more filler. And then you're giving up more guys. You're kind of breaking up more team chemistry. You're hurting your depth. I think it would probably have to be a really special deal for all of that to happen. And I just don't know that ever materialized. So I think that the way this team is currently set up now, they're well situated for the playoffs, where they have a bunch of depth. They can play a bunch of different ways. They can play big. They can play small. They can switch. They can do a whole bunch of different things because of the variety in player skills that they have on their bench, going basically like 1 through 12, maybe even 1 through 15, depending on how the things stack up.
You know, they have such a nice lead in for the number one seed, 6.5 game lead. I don't think 70 wins is all that important. But how do you see Coach Bud managing guys here for the final month? 2 months of the season, going into the postseason, knowing that he's got to taper some of these guys, so they're fresh late May and into June.
Yeah, I think he'll keep doing what he's been doing. They believe in spreading the minutes out and being able to play guys around 30 minutes a night at most. But I think that'll be tested a little bit as we go forward, because 16 of the Bucks' final 28 games are against teams over 500. Now, those are all playoff teams. They're going to play teams 2 through 6 in the East 10 times over the next 28 games, which they only played those teams 9 times during the first 2/3 of the season. So we're going to see a lot of kind of high leverage games, meaningful games. The only caveat to that is a bunch of those come in April, and the question is, will the Bucks have already clinched by the time we get to April? And by clinch, I mean clinch the number one seed. Because if they maintain this kind of this cushion that they have, they'd be pretty much on the cusp of doing that early in April. And so that'll be the time when I'm really interested to see how he handles it. If he kind of staggers guys and, Monday, Giannis is off, Wednesday, Middleton's off, Friday, Bledsoe's off, and kind of just like cycle through them like that. Or if he kind of just continues to keep their minutes low, even if they are in games against good teams. I'm really interested. They need to be healthy going into the playoffs. That's paramount.
Matt Velasquez, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com. We're talking to John Horst about Giannis. Obviously, that Supermax is going to be able to be signed relatively soon if Giannis wants to do that. And in terms of some of the conversation Giannis has had, I know there was a soundbite this week making a lot of waves. And this is a guy who has been on record. Giannis point blank was asked by Colin Cowherd 2 years ago, would you ever go to LA and play for the Lakers? He said no. And then this week he was asked about teaming up with his brothers, and he said that'd be great to do, whether it's Milwaukee, LA, or wherever. If I'm reading Giannis, and now, sure, I always fear the worst about everything, sure. But if I'm reading Giannis, I'm thinking in his head, he knows he's in Milwaukee with his brother, so he says Milwaukee. Then he thinks, oh, yeah, I've got a brother in L.A., so I'll mention L.A. That's all I think it was. That's all I'm reading into it. Is that too naive of me, or would that be something that we need to consider him leaving for?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of same way that I took it, was that like he didn't want to be disrespectful to his brother Kostas. Be like, oh, well, he has to leave where he is. I'm just going to mention where he is, and wherever my brothers are, it'd be cool to be with them.
Yeah,
and it's whatever. That was my take on it. He hasn't talked with us since then, so we haven't had an opportunity to ask for any clarification on the way he approached that answer. But I think that in that same interview, he also said like he really doesn't want to go anywhere. Like as long as the Bucks are winning, I can give you that exact quote. He said, "I'm just trying to focus on the moment and get better, but why not?" And why not? It means why not stay? I'm a guy that wants to be with the team for a while, but as long as we're winning, and we're winning so far, so I don't think anything's going to change. It's like that also was said in that same interview, and obviously it doesn't get as much traction because it's not as juicy. But it's, I think something that is indicative of his mindset and something that we've known all along. He's an incredibly competitive guy, and all he cares about is winning. And if he believes he can win in Milwaukee, he will stay in Milwaukee. And right now, the Bucks have given him every reason to believe he can win in Milwaukee.
Giannis is also somebody that, you know, he says, I think, what's on his mind. I want to go back to the All-Star game where he was talking about their strategy in the fourth quarter of that game, Team Giannis versus Team LeBron.
First, we were just trying to, you know, find whoever, you know, James Harden was guarding. You know, that's who we thought we're going to have an opportunity to score on. And obviously, you cannot go wrong. You know, Kemba, Kyle, JL, me, Siakam, everybody's great players. You know, whoever has the ball, he's going to make a play for, you know, the guy next to him, and it's going to be good because, you know, we all have great players.
I thought it was interesting that he just flat out said, we don't think James Harden's a good defender, so we tried to attack him. This is a guy who just made fun of James Harden in the NBA draft with LeBron. This is also a guy who took a basketball once and chucked it at his head. Now, it looked like it was a pass, but, you know, some of these comments you maybe reconsider. How surprised were you by those comments, and what does Giannis have against James Harden, besides the fact that he over-embellishes every foul ever and is not as good as a basketball player as he gets credit for?
Well, in the moment, I was really surprised that he said that, but then I thought about it more, and it's like, okay, well, when you look at the five guys that Team LeBron had on the floor, well, you don't want to go at LeBron. You don't want to go at AD. You don't want to go at Kawhi. You don't want to go at Chris Paul. Like, those four guys are, like, incredible defenders. And then there's James Harden, who, you know, he's a pretty good post defender, but everything else, like, you know, that's not his game. His game is offense. So, of course, you'd want to go against him. Like, that makes sense. If you can get, you know, especially a bigger guy, Siakam or Embiid against him, you know, potentially Giannis against him, like, you want to go against that. I think it's interesting that Giannis was willing to be that deferential and not say, hey, like, let me go to work or anything like that. He just thought, hey, like, how can we win this game? We think our best way of winning this game is to go against Harden. But also, Harden, I can see the reason for the rivalry. These two guys were 1-2 for the MVP last year, and, you know, Harden spent the whole summer basically saying he was the MVP and he's a legend and just, like, all the kind of stuff that he's done, or at least that he had legendary numbers or legendary season, whatever the exact phrasing was. Like, and basically just, like, denigrating, like, everything Giannis did and saying that he wasn't the real MVP in different words. So, you know, I'm not surprised that Giannis would kind of maybe respond to that with some general ire towards James Harden. I think it's good. I think it's fun. This is the fun part of sports. You know, we love the pettiness of the NBA and, you know, all the little feuds that we find. And I can't imagine there's a Bucks fan who doesn't, you know, hear all that or see all that and say, like, oh, heck yeah, like, I'm on board.
When Christian Yelich gets criticized that, hey, you know, can you duplicate what you did last year? He uses that as motivation. We know about Aaron Rodgers and his sensitivity. Does Giannis have that same thing where, you know, somebody might say, hey, you know what? You heard some of the national criticism about Giannis at the All-Star game, which is unfair. But how does Giannis take some of that?
I think everything fuels him. Like, he is going to, you know, either ignore it entirely or at least say he's ignoring it entirely, or he's going to take it and be like, you know what? I'm just going to go back in the gym and I'm going to keep getting work in and keep doing my thing. I think he's confident in what he does and the skills that he has. Whether he shows them or not, you know, I think that, you know, we've seen enough of what he can do. You know, people say, oh, well, he should have, you know, called for the ball more in the fourth quarter of the All-Star game. He should have, you know, put up more mid-range shots or three-pointers or whatever. It's like, we've seen him do that in games. I just wonder if it was calculated by him that he didn't want to do that then, you know, that he wants to be able to save that and not show everybody what he could do. I don't know, but I think overall, if he's hearing that criticism, I think he's using that as fuel to turn on opposing teams. So have fun with that, Pistons.
Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can find his work again at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter. Matt, we will talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matty. All right, good to talk to you guys again.
Matt Velasquez on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.